The saying that follow the money trail has never been truer than in the climate change debate. Let's start that one again. The saying follow the money trail has never been truer than in the climate change debate. Think about it. The assertion is that climate change will end up costing us life on Earth, at least for the human species, but as we are going now through the sixth great extinction event, now it will probably cost a big proportion of all the species on Earth. So that's the assertion. So, how is this debated is the question. On the whole, it is not debated in the way we might expect. It's not debated as if the threat of a risk of such magnitude to all of us is worth paying attention to or checking out. Do we sit up and take notice? Do we say, well, is this for real, or should we run, or do we run first, or what? For example, if we were a family of prairie dogs, imagine ourselves out on the savannah in Africa. We're a big family of prairie dogs and we're all foraging for food, but we're sensible. We've got one of our members is sitting up on a log, keeping very alert for predators and hawks. And then if that member gives a warning screech, all the rest of us, you'd expect, would run as fast as we could for the safety of our burrow. But instead of doing that, instead of running as fast as we can for the safety of our burrow when we get a warning screech, what we are actually doing is standing around and arguing. We're arguing about how good the guard prairie dog is. And we might be eaten before the debate is decided. Would we actually do that if we were a prairie dog? Would we stand and argue and ignore the fact that there might be an eagle swooping down? Wouldn't it be better to race for the burrow and have the argument there about whether the guard gave the right screech or not? Well, we don't do that, but why? For most of us, our first response is to ignore or dismiss the warnings. We call the warnings alarmist. We've got all sorts of things we say. We say they're wrong. We say they're biased. All sorts of things, which they may or may not be. But why is that our first or primary response? Why don't we make safety and contingency on our safety the first response? Well, here is where I start thinking about money. It's easy to understand why big coal miners don't want a price on carbon, for example. And money is very clearly there. They don't want to pay for it. They are the primary producers of carbon emissions, and they are corporations under company law. Their only purpose for being is financial profit for their shareholders. They're not there to worry about the earth or us or anything else. They are there simply for profit for shareholders. Profit at any price, no matter if it even costs the earth. Then there's Australia as a whole. Our federal government, our government here in the state of Queensland, and all of us who live here. Where do we get our incomes from? Thinking money first and foremost, we'd have to have our heads well and truly buried in the sand if we didn't know that Australia earns most of our income from exporting carbon in one form or another. We earn money from coal, we smelter aluminium, we fly tourists long distances on planes to come here. We make fertilizer from oil and drive tractors all over the land to grow food, which we plow and harvest, and then we export it. We operate huge mining plants to extract iron ore and other minerals. Then we put it on trains and ships, all consuming huge amounts of energy to run and emitting huge amounts of carbon. The income filters through our tax systems into the hands of pensioners who spend it in local businesses. It filters through from the tax system into the salaries of public servants who get paid and then they buy their local homes. It filters through from the tax system into families getting rebates for their children and contractors who watch every contract and grant. We are hardwired to protect our incomes. Over and over we vote for income first and everything else second, even if it costs us the earth, even if it's going to deny our children any hope of a real future. Then there is our personal debt, our credit card debt, our mortgages, the debt for a car that was bigger than we could afford, or an overseas trip we didn't want to put off. We are vulnerable and exposed. If an easy flow of money shut down, we would be like mice in a trap if there was a credit squeeze. Caught, destroyed. Look how we are responding to the global financial crisis. It caught many, many people in Australia on the hop. Australia was very, very lucky in having the resources and some good government decisions to get us through relatively undamaged. But we're being very frugal. We are saving like we haven't saved in many decades. We've learnt a harsh lesson. Debt is dangerous. We are paying it down and not spending except on its essentials. At the same time, a price on carbon could make it harder to reduce our personal debt exposure. If we will put our own financial needs first, even if it costs the earth. Then there are our shares and superannuation policies. We're not talking poverty or starvation here. We're talking about managing our personal wealth portfolios, enjoying what we see as well-earned benefits. We feel proud of our skill and hard work in accumulating what we have. It allows us luxuries, such as a new car or a cruise, maybe a next cruise. We probably go on a few of them. Being able to help the children out with buying a home. We enjoy watching the figures grow, of feeling that we're truly comfortably off. A price on carbon threatens this a little. Some of our shares and superannuation is invested in those exact same companies that are the big carbon emitters. In some way we don't fully understand, we suspect a carbon price might have an effect on the growth of our shares and our superannuation policies. Maybe instead of $250,000 in our nest egg, we might only have, I don't know, $240,000. We haven't thought about that actually a lot. It's not the point. We don't know what effect it might have, but we don't want it to have any effect at all, even if it costs the earth, even if it costs our grandchildren any hope of a future. Then there are our local businesses. Small businesses are doing it tough. The high dollar isn't helping. Electricity and water prices have gone up and up. Customers are saving rather than spending freely. Consumerism is a bit out of fashion. We have to watch every dollar. We have to keep our eye single-mindedly focused on making our business work, on delivering service to our customers, on attracting them to spend. We can't afford to think about anything else, even if it is costing the earth. Our children, some of whom increasingly like to think of themselves as eco-minded, concerned for the environment and the future. When it comes down to the line, our children want the consumer items that enable them to hold their own well with their peers. They want to look forward to high-paying jobs. They want a car, a gown for the ball, the latest toy or piece of imported technology. They want their mobile phone, fact that these are paid for with our carbon-emitting exports is not an equation they want to look at. The eco part of their value systems is almost totally detached from the consumer part of their value systems. The boy with the highest income and biggest car will still get the most beautiful girl, even if it costs the earth. Even if it costs the earth, many of us will be putting money first right to the end. As the world becomes increasingly overpopulated and pressure grows on all resources, all food supply, all water, all energy supply, black markets and profiteering will be the norm. The impoverishment of people in the worst hit parts of the world will be an opportunity for others elsewhere to make more money. Oil and food prices are already being manipulated on global futures markets as supplies tighten. The goal is profit for the greedy, not food for the people to live. People accuse scientists of following the dollar with grants for carbon research. Some of this will be right. Money distorts and obscures, and it means we have to think harder, listen harder, watch harder. The speaker on the climate skeptic global gravy train speaking tour is also doing well financially. There are stories to spin for money to sell papers, to win political seats and to make into TV shows. Money makes the world go round, they say. Actually, money won't hurt the world too much, but it may hurt the people and species of the earth a great deal. It is our ultimate addiction.